Let me tell you a testimony how good God is. Remember yesterday that the Doris is her name? Dolores or whatever?
Dorothy.
Dorothy's. I knew it was a
You've never been good with names, but that's all right. We love you anyways.
Are you forgetting my wife's name?
Memory. That's why they came up with brother and sister, just for you.
Oh,
you
yeah, don't I know no you one. Got that right, man. Anyway, see, we had a great time, because this lady, she comes to us. I don't know how long she's been coming there. For spiritual direction.
Over 20 years.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
She's been looking for an apartment for 20
years. No.
Yeah. No.
The market was not that hot.
But anyway, she's been going there, and she goes through a lot of stuff, and I mean, it's like the same scenario and all that. So I sat her down yesterday. I says, well, let's get one thing straight here. But it was good, and then I asked her to pray for us and stuff. And
God helps those who help themselves.
Didn't that turn that around? You know, like all of a sudden she like, woo, you know.
Yeah.
I said, so, and I gave her her assignment. When you come here, to pray for us. I thought that was good. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I asked her for a prayer. Remember a place?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't know if it happened, but when I left the shop yesterday, I always make a beeline to Pastor Harold, and I just, you know, he usually makes me some coffee, we talk a little bit, then I go home. Well, their, you know, their ministry, their church is like going, I think they got like maybe 10 members now.
Wow.
They had an announcement that, you know, what they wanted to do, the closing and this and that. And half the people, close the damn thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
that's,
I mean,
commitment.
So, I mean, they were devastated.
Spirit of God's there powerfully.
Yeah, really.
And some were, something.
It's yeah. A small G.
Yeah. They were devastated because, you know, their son passed away within the last year.
Yeah, I know. It's been
and
hard.
Now, you know, the possibility of closing the church down, but they own that whole property, man, that whole thing. And so, on my way over there to the house, I did a drive-by just to say hi to Pastor Harold, because I know he's been going through that stuff. And they were having, I guess somebody from their denomination was there, you know, doing like a business vision, mission, is trying to help them to, you know, reestablish their mission, their vision, and what they're going to do, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, and so I'm there listening to it, you know, and some of the stuff I heard, I said, this is ridiculous. You know, like to save money, quit doing coffee and donuts. What? That ain't going to make you or break you, the coffee and the donuts for the for the people to come, you know?
But anyway. When I got insurance.
I ain't get it. I was here before he was, and he come. No.
He's special.
Potatoes, he did.
Oh, the Bible says you can have vapor.
Vapor. And, but anyway, so the point is, they got a little a little house over there. I told him, you know, that I wanted to rent some time ago. So he mentioned that maybe Sam will take that little house over, you know, to reestablish the Dream Center up in the area again. So, but anyway, that's a possibility. The other thing is, I went to see Steve at the VA, and he had colon cancer, no, prostate cancer, and so they caught it in time and they cut it. So, but he's in the hospital. But he looks good. He's got great attitude. But the kicker was, I went to JO to the JO to go see my friend's son.
Mm-hmm.
I've known him since he was a little kid and all that, and we haven't, you know, seen too much. But anyway, he got locked up. He's been in and out of jail, drugs or whatever like that. But, you know, he's 31, and him and my daughter, they knew each other, but my daughter's a little older. So I talked to him because his father had talked to him about going to Dunklin, that rehab down in Okeechobee, great place.
Yeah.
And he says, well, I'm ready. You know, I'm ready. I said, well, you know, here's the deal, man. You're ready because you're in here.
Yeah.
The minute you get out that door,
feet
how ready?
Hit the ground, yeah.
Yeah, how ready you gonna
go
be, you know? So I constantly talk to him, you know, on that video thing, and I asked him on that video thing, well, how, what's your relationship with Jesus? He says, hey, I'm talking.
Well, here, I'll take your
phone.
No, no, no,
no. Yeah, Dad. Yeah, bring it over here, Rose.
Yeah, right?
And he says, I don't have one. I said, well, how would you like to have one? I'm on the phone there watching him in jail, you know.
Yeah.
So I led him to the Lord right through the screen right there, man. I'll tell you what, it was just so awesome. And I knew that it, I knew that it took.
Yeah.
And the reason was because, you know, when he you go to see the guy, you know, they're like, he bows his head, you don't see too much. But when he went like that, you saw that he was all red and he was crying, you know. And I was so excited.
Yeah.
And then he said, you know, it is so strange because I got a letter today from Salvation Army down over here that they have a bed for me.
Huh.
I said, well, praise the Lord, because you know what? You're only about 4 or 5 blocks from me. Now, you know, you can come by the house, you can, you know, have some rice and beans, like, you know, his mother, that was the one that committed suicide, walked in front of a car.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it was just so awesome, man, because, you know, hopefully he takes that there. If he does, I said, look, man, I'm your father now. You know,
yeah.
I know you have a father, but you guys, you know, he's over there. But I'm going to be 4 blocks from you. You need to talk to me. I'm there for you. You know, I do all that. But it was just awesome to be to do that, and especially over the, and watch that. It was so cool.
Had to send out for you.
Did you feel like the 700 Club or something?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, it was awesome. It was awesome.
Needless to say, you had a captive audience.
Oh, pretty boom. Definitely had a captive audience, so that's good, man.
You know, nursing home ministry is very similar. You know, you're not over a phone, but you're over a bed.
Yeah.
And the same captivity, when Jesus says, go and visit those who are in prison, you never think of a wheelchair or a bed as a prison.
Yeah.
So you can't get up.
Your own body, shit.
You know? And, so, you know, the discipleship that predominantly happens in the nursing home is you're grooming baby Christians oftentimes, because there's people that have given their lives to the Lord and they believe Christ for salvation, but they've never done anything with it, you know. And so you get men like us who come in and have been secured in the Word of God and encourage them. I mean, it is just to see the response, see the change of atmosphere is just fantastic.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, all this. I'm just thinking about that, you know, because since it seems like the Lord has really opened doors for, you know, helped me out in a spiritual sense, that ever since I started doing the chaplain thing, man, it's just like, you know, it's been like a hallelujah, you know, and, you know, learning and, you know, understanding the people that are in the nursing home and stuff like that. And And so, you know, that's not my ministry, I know that, but I guess the one it's going to be is going to be in the prisons. And also, you know where my heart is that I'm going to talk to, after I get go through all that, I'm going to talk to Northside to you know, go in there and do, pray with folks and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. So
big Northside to the south side.
Northside.
Yeah, take it to the south side.
Well, but anyway, I'm excited about that, and so it's just been a good time, and you know, God is so good, man.
There you go.
So that's my thing. So where's the?
So you didn't
So you didn't enjoy the Valley of Baca, huh?
Okay. That you know, that time, we all go through that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We all go through it. And you know, after so many years of serving and doing ministry and working and this and that, right? You lose.
I need a glass of water.
Water.
This is mine right here,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You lose that joy, and you know, you go back to Smyrna. You know, I know the works that you've done. You know. I know the works that you've done in the past, but you lost your first love. So go back to your first love, you know. Yeah, and so it's good. It's a good feeling.
You know, how many things have you done wrong, and yet you know, if you know the redemption plan, Jesus has touched your life.
Yeah.
And so you can recalibrate. You know, just like Garmin said, recalibrate. Recalibrate. I missed a turn. Recalibrating. Yeah. And old-fashioned, you know, we're doing this marriage seminar at church, and got like 5 couples. And, you know, I find out that, you know, I hate these things because, you know, they go deeper. It's like digging into your soul. And, so I find out that my wife, for 34 years, has been totally in captivity in our marriage. And we don't have a oneness that the Bible talks about. Okay. Now, if any of you know or can imagine, what is oneness, you know? And of course, it's something deeper than most of us are willing to go. So I brought in a painting that she painted about 2 years ago. And the painting was of a woman holding onto a bed frame, looking out, kind of sullen, that, oh, this is where my husband likes to meet me, but no other place.
Wow.
Okay. And the topic was oneness or pleasure. Which one are you? Mm-hmm. And I can honestly say, I says, you know, well, listen, I love to have sex with my wife, but do I really have oneness with her? I don't know. I do all the things that a woman would like, you know. I take care of everything, set her up, pay for everything, do everything. I even take out the garbage and fill up the ice cube trays.
Wait a second, the ice cube tray.
Too little radical there.
Okay.
Yeah, a little radical with the ice cube. Yeah.
So, and
the ice bumps.
And so we homeschooled our kids. Our kids are doing excellent, except the firstborn, you know. And I still believe in that God's going to just put favor in his life. And but this whole marriage thing, I says, this is why I never like going to these things, because every time we went in the past, we always fought or were prone to discussions deeper than I'm willing to go.
Pull the scab off or something.
Yeah, pulling the scab off, you know. And so here we are. Here we are, married 34 years, and she comes and says, you know, we've never had oneness. And I'm like, damn this book. Really? We never had oneness? And I'd ask you men, do you have oneness with your wife if you're married? You know? And so is
we probably can't even answer that right. You really need to ask our wives.
Well, that's it. And you know, well, I'll tell you what, if you got it, you know it. And if you don't have it, you're probably gonna lie. That you do have it. Because you're not tuned in. And that's a challenge, because you know, how many times you sit around the table Now, with guys, maybe you can be a little more honest, but if this was a mixed crowd, I'd say half of you would lie. Just because to cover your little butt, to say, oh, I'm a good Christian, you know. Well, what is a good Christian? You know what a good Christian is? One who has trusted Christ as their Savior.
Hallelujah.
Now, that's a good Christian. Because you know what? We're headed for heaven because of that. Not of works, not because I have oneness, or not because I have, you know, all the ducks in a row. No, it's because I believe in Jesus Christ. Mm. And religion has poisoned that to such a fact that you can go and get all your ducks in a row and not honor God. Mm-hmm. Because you don't believe. You got your ducks in a row, but you don't believe. So when you read the Gospels, what does it carry through? That I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins. You know what? How many times the hymns say, and though they were many, mm-hmm. right? And what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh yeah, have you stopped sinning since you knew Christ as your Savior? No, are you glad that God is still washing those sins away?
Sweet and low.
Yeah, that's what it is. No, those are all in.
Sorry, I didn't
do that. Excuse me, sir, Peter. Can I buy you breakfast?
Thank you. I'm very, very good at this point.
Okay.
Guys, this was, I don't know, I think the first time Lucian has been here. Yeah. And this man, I know him very shortly. That's not supposed to be short, you know. No. But I've known him a little bit, and wonderful man of God, awesome missionary, evangelist. And man, I'm honored to have you here today, man. My goodness.
I'm honored to be here. I'm here because of this guy.
Well,
I thought he was going to leave the house at 6. He's going to get up at 6. So I got up at 6. He's at my house.
He got left behind.
I apologize.
Amen. Before we go on, you have an announcement you want to share with us?
Yes. Yes, I have an announcement. First, I want to thank all of you and each one of you. Because I'd like to think that I am one of you.
Amen. You are.
Amen.
And I believe that.
Amen.
Jesus is our Savior.
Amen.
We have to believe in Him.
That's right.
Having that said, Jesus has helped my wife and I throughout our venture in the restaurant business,
yeah.
which is over 50 years.
Wow.
60 years. I'm 82 years old, and I'm thankful that I'm able to be up and around. And serve people. Having that said, there's a time in our life where we say, enough is enough. Just put it bluntly, yeah. We paid our dues.
Yeah, sure.
More than your dues.
I'd like to think back in the food business where at one point, this is 40 years ago, I opened up Busy Bee up on 49th.
Ah, you opened that.
Yes. And it was Albertsons. I think I've told this story before. I don't know if I did or not. And it was a couple days before Thanksgiving. And I had gone to Albertsons to pick up a little something for the restaurant. And all of a sudden, I heard a noise, loud noise, and all the employees ran into the cash register. And There's a little guy, I didn't know what was going on. There's a little guy that had taken a candy bar and put it in his pocket. And of course they saw him and they called security and all that there. My heart went out to him. I went out after they let him go. I said, why did you do that? Why did you take it? He says, because I'm hungry. I didn't have any money. I took him to the restaurant. And I told Nick, my partner. Nick was Emily's brother.
Great. You don't want it?
I would like to give this man a breakfast and then send him home. Well, I made up my mind. Thanksgiving is coming, and I have been blessed all throughout the years. I'm going to do something for people such as this young man, because there were a lot of them at the time. And I advertised a little bit. I says, Thanksgiving, and Peter, and Emily, Busy Bee, welcome anybody that would like to come. Free dinner, free Thanksgiving. And I think we went through a couple turkeys on that Thanksgiving. And it made me feel good to be.
Praise God.
It made me feel good to see the happiness of the little ones, their eyes. And we continued that the next year. And the next year it was 6-7 turkeys. And we continued that. And I had also, Busy Bee, I had also another snack shop in Dunedin. And the third year, I was getting ready to put up dinners in Dunedin now. We had the club, let's see if I remember correctly, what is it, for the ice?
Cataract.
Well, no, we had a people that belonged
Lions
to
Club.
Lions Club. Thank you. Thank you. And a couple of fellas there, they were customers, but I didn't know them, but they were in the Lions Club. And they start clapping. This is congratulations. This is going on your third year, and nobody pushed you, nobody. And then the media got a hold of it, and from 6-7 turkeys, 8 turkeys, we went to 20 turkeys.
20.
And God bless her, at this time, it was the lady mayor, the name escapes me now. And she says, well, next year, we're just going to do this thing right. We're going to have it outside. We're going to have tables. We're going to, that would have been across the street from the snack shop, because they had parking and all that. Well, I followed through. And then I ventured into Homosassa Springs. I opened up my first Emily's up there. And I followed through up there also.
Wow.
And then we just kind of pulled little by little, pulled away from it. I felt that I had done a good deed, and not that I had done the good deed to feed a person, but for other people to be an example. Maybe they can
pick up the baton.
Pick up. And a lot of them did. is that one. Well, having that said, this is 40 years later, and Mama and I are tired. It's not a complaint. It's a way of life.
Just is.
It's, yeah. Yes. Why? We're older. And we found a young man that is very aggressive, restaurateur, very successful. He's in the restaurant business, and I feel good about giving him the place. But he wouldn't take the place unless I sold the real estate also.
Right.
So I said, God bless you, you got the real estate.
Yeah.
Sunday is our last day.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Saturday, Sunday, it's our last day.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I just want to thank you, brothers.
Thank you.
I just want to thank you.
Thank you
because
for the legacy
you are coming in to have a cup of coffee and to say the word, a good word.
Amen.
Which is one of the most wonderful things a human being can do.
Amen.
Well, God bless you, and I'm with you.
For years you came in and poured the coffee. Now you get to sit back and smell the coffee.
I think, and you know what? Sleep in when you
want. Yes, there you go.
Yeah, get up when you want to.
And if we don't see you, we'll be over Thanksgiving, okay?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice? So, I don't know if I talked a lot or
no.
I'm not trying to praise myself.
No, you gave God the glory.
Yeah. Testify.
Yeah.
You know, we all have a testimony somewhere in our lives that God has touched our lives.
Yes.
And I was speaking to a young man yesterday. He says, I don't know chapters and verses of the Bible. I says, but you do know when you gave your life to Jesus.
Good for you.
And you use that to testify to other people because he doesn't know what to say.
Good for you.
I says, well, let me tell you, just tell them about Jesus touching your life. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about Jesus touching your life, they'll understand where it came from. Because when you use the name of God today, there's a lot of gods in the world.
Yeah. Of course.
But there's only one Jesus.
Of course.
Amen.
And that's key.
And I
says,
that.
Use that name of Jesus.
Amen.
So
the Bible says we're walking epistles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
And he's much like Jesus because Jesus came to serve, not be served.
We have to believe.
Amen.
Yeah.
It brings the best of us. It makes the family unite. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe, the family is not united.
Yeah.
It brings in your family closer. You have a goal. Mm-hmm. Believing in Jesus. And Jesus does help.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much for your service.
Yes, thank you for opening the doors.
Thank you for allowing us to come here, even though these guys are make loud, too much noise, and
I'm gonna miss that noise. I'm gonna miss that noise, and I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to serve you for a little while that I.
May God bless you.
I would thank hope you would still join us on Friday mornings, wherever we may be meeting.
You know,
get his phone number and call him.
I
just
like
said he wanted to sleep in. You wanted to get him up at 6.
Listen.
I would like. This is once a week.
Yeah. Once a week.
It's not every day.
This is an everyday situation.
No,
7 days a week.
We'd be honored to have you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Amen. We have your number before you leave.
Yes, I'd like it. I'd like it.
That's good. That's good. So what do you got to say?
Listen to you, boss.
Leaving the area. What are you doing, Mr. Lucian?
Well, we're going to
thank you. You're welcome.
My daughter's place in Murphy, North Carolina. But there's a little church in Murphy. The pastor is blind. So I've had a vision of
being with the blind man and helping him. So that's what I'm going to do.
Wow.
God bless.
You know, it's wonderful to serve the Lord. I tell you what.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus is the Lord and Lord of Lords, King of Kings. I've served him for 60 years. I was born in Egypt, lived there all my life till I was 19, found the Lord there, came to America as a foreign student.
Coptic? Were you a Coptic Christian?
No.
No.
I was a Jew.
Jew?
Okay. I'm Jewish, but
right.
Missionaries there led my mom and dad to Christ.
Wow. Awesome.
And I came to know the Lord. Hmm. And I've been traveling as an evangelist for a while. And then I tell you right now, I say to people, I'm not retired, I'm just tired.
Just tired.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. The Bible doesn't teach retirement.
No, it doesn't.
It teaches refirement. Kick up the flame a little bit. Yeah.
Somebody asked me, "Are you ever going to quit going to Russia?" I said, "Yeah, when I see Jesus face to face."
Amen. These people are our friends, and they always stay with us when they come to town. And today I got up and I thought he was saying that get up at 6, but
said we had to be here.
I didn't realize.
Crossed wires.
I apologize.
So when are you leaving?
The 8th, we're signing the, we're selling the house. Uh-huh. Closing is the 8th. We'll probably leave about that same day or the next day after. But my heart is always going to be here. All my friends are here. Just my family's up there. But my friends are my family.
Yeah.
You know.
God bless.
They that do the will of my Father, they are my mother, my brother, and my sisters. I like that when Jesus said that. And that, to me, that gives a little credence to the Catholics. And because he mentioned mother there. It's the only place. Only place. Ever mentioned.
I'm going to offer you my seat. Because you're not.
Amen.
Amen. I have to rethink my math.
Thank
working
you.
Working 12, 14 hours a day and sleeping 4. And
yeah, really.
The rest
thank
of
you.
My
have
wife.
A beautiful day.
Thank
you,
you
too,
sir. God bless you. Amen.
Well, you're just getting ready for the millennial reign.
Is that what it is?
There is no sleeping.
Yeah, there's no sleep, no slumber.
You know, picture getting into the millennial reign where you're up 24/7. You never get tired. There's no beds.
You don't even need a raincoat.
Never rains. You know, I was listening to the radio. I forget about...
By yourself?
Yeah.
Who turned the dial?
Forgive him. And this guy, they were talking about heaven, you know, doing the whole thing, you know. And he said that in heaven, that we will be living in cities. And, you know, so he said, for those that like the country, well... Sorry, you'll be living in the cities. I said, I looked at myself. But then I thought, you know, okay, I do believe in that city, the millennial city or whatever, man, but I know he's got to have some countryside along with that, man, you know? Because it says you'll be lying with the bear,
lion,
yeah.
Heaven and earth come together at that time. It's like walking from one door to the other. So the earth is going to, there are no more seas.
Yeah.
And so the earth's going to be like Eden was, the whole earth.
Yeah. Well, I always tell people, you know, God's original purpose never changed.
It was to walk with man.
It never changed. And so, you know, and there's that millennial kingdom up there. But you know what? He created the earth, man, and to inhabit that earth.
My Bible says the new heavens will come down, not that earth will go up.
Yeah,
you know?
Man. So, you know, not that I'm a country boy, man, but I sure like that, you know, driving out there. That scenic route, man.
Somebody asked me, well, they'll be hunting up there. I said, you'll be hunting Jesus every day.
We've been made for his pleasure.
Amen.
That's the problem today. We always want pleasure.
What we want.
We're made for his pleasure. I've been created for him, not for me. So,
wow.
That's the tough part of getting me out of the way.
Yeah. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's what my wife told me.
I am so glad you're enjoying that marriage conference.
You know,
that's why I don't go to those things, man. We find out all the things I do wrong.
You enjoy it, but it don't mean there ain't pain and hurt.
There's a hymn in my hymnal, number 18. It says, "Deeper, deeper, though it cost hard trials, deeper will I go." And I just don't like some of the hymns. And I don't like some of the Bible because it tells the truth, but it doesn't change the truth because I don't like it. Yeah. And but it's true. And God's going to work. Oh, how long is this going to take?
Long as it takes.
Long as it takes.
And the parts I don't like the most is the ones I need to study and look.
Yeah.
You know, because that there's something there. You know what I mean?
And then the chorus was like, "Till I'm wholly lost in Jesus and his perfect will."
Perfect.
Yeah. See, that's a thing, you know, that, you know, perfect.
See, I know a lot of people, they misquote that scripture. It says, God will give you the desires of your heart. Well, when your desires become Jesus' desires,
it changes your desires.
It's no problem for him to give you what, yeah. You know. Yeah. But people pervert that. Moses, and they want to be.
When Moses saw the people sin, God said, take them another trip around the mountain.
Yeah.
For 40 years, they went around the same mountain.
He'll be coming around the mountain.
That's where it came from.
For 4 years.
And after they sung that for a while, the old gray mare, she ain't looking.
Another pastor said on TV, he
that
said,
came out of the marriage
said,
seminar.
Oh, manna was a blessing. Can you imagine eating Big Macs three times a day for 40 years?
Yeah.
That wasn't a blessing.
Yeah.
It sustained them.
Oh, yeah.
That's all
it did. That's all
it did,
That's how manicotti was invented.
Ah. That's what Jackie Gleason called Mrs. Manicotti.
Mrs.
Finally got up that mountain and they quit listening to the Garmin.
They
kept saying, take your turn at the next.
Well, they had manna sandwiches, manna stew, manna soup, manna pot roast.
But I don't know, it's really no different today for any one of us who are walking with God. You know, God's willing to wait. Aren't you glad he's long-suffering toward you?
Absolutely.
You know, really, how long, if you think back, that you were struggling with something or an issue, and you go, finally, when the revelation comes, well, that only took 25 years, you know? And you go, so how can you then preach and teach to people that God delivers, yes, he does, now, seeing the cleansing fountain, the sanctification that comes along and finally, way over here, I have a prayer that is answered, took 25 years. 25 years. Another prayer, 10. Those two specific prayers. 10 years to hear my father say, I love you. He never told me. And you know what he told me? He says, now I want you to tell your father you love him. I was embarrassed. And it took 10 years of telling my father I love him before he said it back to me. 10 years. It's a true story.
My father went to a retreat.
Tres días?
Yeah.
3 days.
And, Cursillo, whatever.
Yeah.
The Emmaus walk.
Yeah, the Emmaus. And anyway, he went there, and then he came back, and I was at the house when he had come back, and he looked at me, he said, son, I love you.
What?
What happened?
What happened to you, Dad?
Who that? What? He needed to go there every week, bro. And it was good. It was really good, you know.
Long overdue.
And the thing that I, you know, like, for example, I try to tell people, that, you know, my father, when I finally started coming down, you know, like he went through this, he's got a little Jesus in him now, you know, and I said, Dad, why were you such a jerk, man? And he looked at me like, what? And I said, yeah, you did this, and that. I did that? And so at that point, I realized, and I've heard it from many other men, also, I realized that, you know, when he was in younger and in the stupors, because he was drinking and womanizing and all this whole nine yards, that, man, you just forget, you don't know what you do.
You block that stuff out.
Yeah, and he didn't know. Because my daughter, you know, I mean, she hit me back with some stuff. I said, no, me? Not I, you know? And so, that's why, like, today when I talk to men and stuff like that, you know, and we always go back to the same thing, which is dad. What's your relationship with your dad? And what happened, what's going on, you know? I mean, you got some great stories to tell, Elsie, on that one. And, but until we realize that as a young person, you know, if you've been involved or you've had a family or father that was, he wasn't there, you know, and his anger and this and that, that you don't realize it. He don't, you know, but later on, he didn't realize it, but you felt it, you were the brunt of it, but he didn't realize what he was doing. And even now today, you know, I think about what kind of a jerk I am, you know? And, you know, so I try to, you know, I think of my wife, man, how man, what a, she went to the doctor, and the doctor asked her, are you a little stressed? Yeah, a little bit. What's going on? All this lot of stuff going on. Well, and she said, well, you go to church? And I said, yeah, but I don't like it there. I just don't like it there. I said, is that stressful for you? She said, yeah. Well, why do you go? And she said, well, because my tradition, you know,
follow my
I'm
husband.
Spanish. My tradition, I follow my husband. And she told me that a couple of weeks ago. And I respected the fact that that's the one thing, because I cannot see a wife over there going to this church and somebody else going over there. I could not see that, and I see you see a lot of that. Well, I don't want to go to that church, and my husband likes it, so I'm going to go there. And so I was listening to the radio. I was telling you about this pastor was telling that, this one guy that was going to his church, he loved the preaching. Yeah, it was very real deep and all that, but the wife and the kids didn't like it. So, but finally he had to make that decision, is he had to go with his wife, you know, where they're happy. And so they went to another church. I mean, the guy wasn't as strong as the other guy, but he was good anyway. But everybody was working together now. You know, they were all happy. So, you know, you have to make that decision that, you know, your family's first, man. I don't care how much you like the pastor, whatever relationship you have with him, dude. I go to go home with her, you know, and so it's you know, it's hard for you to realize those things, you know. You gotta follow me where I go, like that, you know.
That's over that mountain. One of the biggest problems in marriage is today is selfishness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, we're gonna do it my way. The husband or wife, either one could say that, and the second is lack of commitment. You know. We decide to get married, we decide to get a divorce. Where's the commitment? They never made a commitment.
Here's the difference. That's not an agreement, that's covenant.
Yes.
Yeah.
That ring is a covenant between me and my wife.
Yeah. I asked my mother, I said, Mom, what did you stay with that jerk? She said, first of all, that jerk is your father.
Call him by his right
name. And then she says, I did not want you to know another father. I stood with him.
A lot of mothers.
50-something years.
Go through hell.
You know.
For the kids.
And my father was alcoholic, womanizer, and all that. You know, the later years, he mellowed out. He served my wife hand and foot. My mom hand and foot. He served her breakfast. Imael, necesita café. Brings her coffee and. You know, so he took care of her. The last thing my father said before he died, he says, take care of mama. Make sure you take care of mama.
Take care of mama.
You know? And that was the last thing he said. He was so more concerned about her, you know?
You just remind me of something, talking about a womanizer.
My dad was a horn dog in the 60s. We lived out in California. It was free love and everything going on. Well, I just got a call this week from last Friday to this Friday. I got a half-sister I didn't know about. And I wouldn't be surprised a few more, because this ancestor thing, they tie DNA together. Yeah. That's how she found me.
Wow.
And everything lies. She told me who her mother was. She was born in 1968 in California.
Wow.
I remember my dad had several girlfriends that were pregnant. And
wow.
So
I brought that up a couple of weeks ago. My wife's sister found out that she's a half-sister, and she's got a whole family.
Yeah.
And she's already gone to visit them. I mean, they're like...
Yeah, she wants to...
Yeah, they're...
Come to find out, she's a teacher, she's an author, she's an artist, she's very accomplished.
Wow.
Half-sister is. So lives in Texas now.
So it comes from that side of the family.
Yeah.
Does she paint engine blocks?
No,
just thought maybe it was really, really a good tie-in.
You know, I know I got some family out there, some half brothers and sisters. I gotta have them. So I never did that DNA thing, man. I don't know if I want to know them, to be honest with you. I have family. You know, the sad part about it. Okay, the Infanzan side, which is my father's. Very business people.
Some of their artwork.
Very snobby type. There's that class in everything inside, but
hard to stay still long enough to
like,
do that.
They're business people, like they're noble
roosters.
Yes, it is beautiful. And that's my father's side of the Infanzan. I have a whole, what's that?
Artwork of a sister.
Texas.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Man,
that's gorgeous. So I have family that are actually in the ministry in Jacksonville and in Daytona, but since I've never really had a relationship with those folks, and you know, I don't even look for them. I says, well, what? I don't know.
Well, when you go to visit, and you sit down at the table and you think you're looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
There's a twin for Sam.
No. We can't stand this world with another Sam.
Hey, listen. If Jacob could have four wives and his true love was to Rachel, and Leah was a wannabe, but you know, Leah had to live through three kids, three boys, and their names were depressing. But the fourth child, she got a revelation and called him Judah, which means praise. And see, sometimes you just got to go through things to get to the place where you can just simply honor God no matter what.
Yeah. You know, I love that story. I want to thank Elsie because, you know, I've been trying to help him. Not doing that good of a job, I don't think. But it was last week. I mean, I was crawling over the floor on my knees and homing and up and down and this and that. And I actually was laughing. I thought it was funny. It wasn't feel funny.
My knees and the back and all that.
But I was laughing, you know, I said, because I didn't see myself in there doing that, which is, it wasn't wrong. I mean, you know, didn't have a lip open or whatever. But, you know, I did it anyway. But I was just laughing because my doctor, when I got my knee thing done, he says, I do those sit-ups, you know, stand-ups, you know, like that. Well, I'm sitting here about 100 times, I'm like, oh man, there's nut over here, over this thing over there, I can get up. This and that.
Yeah, I'm helping you.
Man, it's helping me, brother, you know.
Who needs a gym?
So now we call it, Mark and Mahoney, I, we call it the geriatric ward.
Yeah, that's it.
Mahoney's
auto mechanics and gym.
Physical therapy, man.
You gotta hang a heavy bag out in the
back. There you go.
That darn thing is...
You got all them old cars, you can say, we take old things and make them work again.
Yeah, right.
We can rebuild
it. It's been a pleasure because, and I want to thank you guys, you know. Really, I just feel good, man. I feel, great, you know, like yesterday, I don't know if you weren't here.
Tell them about the block you did.
Huh?
The block.
The block.
What you've been complaining about? Oh, I'm so sore from moving all that block.
Oh, no, yeah. Like, Monday, I don't know where this idiot comes from, this guy in here. Tommy gave me all these pavers, you know, these like that and big blocks. And I'm sitting there, I said, you know, because we're having a little thing for my daughter this weekend, and I want to put all these pavers alongside there and so I can put the grill and all that. And I never done anything like that, you know. And so I'm digging each hole individually. What do I know? And then all of a sudden I got this revelation, and it was God. He said, man, just dig the whole thing out, place the thing, then put the dirt over it, you know, and cover it. And I'm picking these things up, man. And then finally I was on my chair, in the chair with the shovel like this, because I couldn't get up anymore. My back. My arms got longer, you know. And what am I doing this?
It comes to work Wednesday. Oh, I'm so sore. I don't know if I can do much.
What am I doing here, you know? But anyway, I you know, did it
at
for
your
my
age,
daughter.
Legos can be a challenge. Yeah.
Put my hands to the plow and don't look back.
Yeah, well, I can't look back. But anyway, it's just been a blessing because, you know, all this, you guys put up with me for the last couple of years. Going through what I've been through, and I just feel good. I feel good that feel great getting involved with the chaplains. These guys are incredible there, and there's a new chapter heading our way to get back on what God called me to do.
Amen. You know, I have a vision from my local church. They want to sell the property, and I'm going to oppose it vehemently. And so they can cash it in for $1.75 million, okay? And the county wants to buy it, because what are they going to do? They're going to take down the cross and the buildings and put up a parking lot, so to speak. And they're going to get tax revenue out of it. So $1.75 million will probably be a payback in less than 10 years. So it's a good investment for them. But my heart is like, when I go and drive down 64th Street, I see that cross lit up. It says, that's worth $1.75 million to keep it up as a memorial that the gospel would still go forward even though you can't, quote unquote, make it. Well, anyway, my vision is to convert the church to a community center, okay, which works with the people. That's what Jesus did. He worked with the community. And I want to see the church then open 7 days a week with the various things that are going on for a purpose, ultimately to glorify our Father in heaven. But the community needs to come in. How do you get them to come in? Unless you have community things. And so over the years, the eldership has sanctioned out Sunday night service, almost Wednesday night service, the voting booth, anybody able to rent or use the building. So I go, well, they don't want the community in here. They want to cash in. So my heart is like, you know what, I'm sorry. I love Pastor Kelly. He's a good preacher, teacher, excellent. But under my watch, because I'm responsible for what I believe, I cannot sanction the selling of this property. And pray for me. This is going to go down Sunday night. And because now when you stand up and be counted, you're counting yourself against the elders of the church, okay? Which, you know, I know what the word says, rebuke not an elder sharply. I want to be very careful because I love that man. And yet, I'll take some, please. You know, how do you then come against, you know, something like that where
it's only one way.
Love. Yeah. And the thing is that the elders, the way the church is set up, the elders have the right to sell as long as the congregation says yes.
Yes, right.
Well, I'm not saying yes. And you know what? If I stand up, there's going to be a lot of people who will stand up with me. And let's redo the thought of church, because that's what's not working. But a community center, and it's interesting that Europe, this one fellow, Pastor DeMeo, was in France for 20 years and saw very few converts. And yet, when he came back, he reported that we don't have churches anymore, we have community centers.
Amen.
Where people go in and they gather for whatever purpose.
Yeah.
And what that purpose is, would you adopt Monday night? Would you adopt Tuesday night? Would you adopt Wednesday night? Mm-hmm. Would you adopt Thursday night? Would you adopt Friday night? Yeah. And be your purpose to be a part of the community, to keep the doors open, have some place to go, have a vision to ultimately preach the gospel through service. Yeah.
You know, that meeting that I came into, I'm listening to this, mission, what's your mission, what's your vision, all that. And so I'm watching this, and you know, one of the things I learned a long time ago, you know, when you're setting up a corporation or you're setting up a ministry or whatever it is, you know, that says, what's the mission?
Right.
You know, what's your vision? So, you know, our vision or the mission statement is to be what is my mission statement? Restore hope and change life to Christ.
Right.
And how do you do that? You do that through community programs and outreach. You know, I believe that, you know, there's a new program that's on TV now. It's called The Village. And I love it. I love this name because The Village is actually community. Mm-hmm. And The Village and that apartment building in this program, everybody in there are friends and families and all this. And, you know, the guy that owns the property, they have cookouts on the roof because this is in New York. But they all help each other. Mm. And that's community, that's the village. And so, you know, the word is say, how many people does it take to raise a child? It's a village. Mm. And so the community is a village. And the problem is that we get so enclosed in the building that we're not affected out in the community because you know what you're saying. Well, you can't do this, you can't do that, this person, this and that. Man. You know, some of the churches up north, man, they got gymnasium. You know, I'm driving around over there where in Kansas City, and I'm looking at there is in this whole area. Where's there a gym at? Where's there a place your kids could go out and play basketball?
What has Calvary got? I've never been there, but I heard they have all kinds of stuff. I don't know. I've never been.
Well, no, Calvary has it outside, though.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know they have quite a bit for kids.
Yeah.
Skateboard park.
A skateboard park and stuff like that. But see, that's community minded.
Right.
You know, you gotta think community. Mm-hmm. How you gonna bring these people? That, why don't they even want to go in there?
You know,
from what I understand,
community is nothing but the right. Explanation of that word is it's a group of families that come together. A lot of people want community, but not the family involved. And God created the family.
Well, that's where the power is.
Yeah.
You know, a family became a tribe, became a country, became a nation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a progression.
Yeah.
You're talking about the church. Now there are communities over there, whatever. And so, all of a sudden, you know, I can see your family, or your wife, if that's, you know, she likes art and all that, art classes, other people with dance, and there's so many things that to bring the community together, and then when you bring the community together, they're working together to get to know each other, and the best thing in the world for community, man, I was reading this thing this morning about it. It says, why is it good to have bagels in church, you know? And
Have someplace to put cream cheese.
There you go.
Got someplace.
As long as they're not sandwich sliced.
Well, you know, the reason is that their theory is, and I understand it, and I kind of go along with it, but not through the service, but the point is that they, you know, if people leave early in the morning, go to church, they haven't had breakfast, this and that, they have bagels and coffee and stuff like that. They eat, they sit and talk and all
fellowship,
that. You know?
Yeah.
It's community. Yeah. But we get so called religious, so sanctimonious about, oh, we're in there. This is church, man. We're eating. We're having church right here.
Jesus broke bread many times.
Yeah.
Moses over in Africa said it's hard to tell people about Christ that are starving.
Yeah, talking about breaking bread.